So good, so good. And what's really cool is that there's so many testimonies like that of college students in Campus City Wesley who come from different backgrounds. Some come from strong church backgrounds like Mandarin UMC. And then there's some who they didn't grow up going to church, or their family did but not really connected. And what's beautiful is that we get to minister to all of those students and create a space where all of them can find community, can grow in their relationship with Jesus, and ultimately figure out exactly why they're on the planet so they could live out their call in this world. So I'm just, again, we're just so excited to be here this morning. And as I was preparing and praying about what I felt like Jesus wanted me to talk about this morning, it really comes out of just sort of my own life. I've completed like 16 years of campus ministry now, and I'm 38 years old, so that's where the gap is there, if you're wondering, because sometimes people say I don't look 38, and that's cool. But I've been doing this a while, and I'm realizing as I hang out in our churches, particularly churches like Mandarin, who I know you guys love the next generation. I'm watching this intergenerational like gathering right here of folks in this room. Incredible. I'm recognizing that often our heart can be in the right place when it comes to the next generation, and I know we want to reach them. But sometimes we just, there's just some things that we miss. There's just some things that we haven't thought about, some reminders that might be helpful as we continue to serve this next generation well. And I'm really excited that we really are getting intentional about that. We don't want another missing generation in the church. Amen? And we're definitely not interested in seeing more of our young adults become nuns and duns. We want to figure out what we need to do to fill these seats with as many people as possible, but specifically the next generation, millennials and Gen Z. And so this morning, I'm just going to speak from that. I'm speaking humbly, but I'm also speaking to somebody who spends all of his time with the next generation. You know, honestly, if I ever have kids, I'm going to hang out with the nursery folks because I know nothing about that. And they're going to help me a great deal. And so again, this morning, because I spend so much time with young adults, that's the experience that I'm speaking out of. And again, I know that there's some young adults, some next generation folks sitting in the room. I hope you're okay with us having this conversation this morning. Is that cool? Cool, at least you're here. I got a little bit. Let's pray together. Oh God, thank you so much just for the opportunity to be in your house. And I just pray this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Have your way, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's hear the word of the Lord this morning coming from Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13. Now when Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the human one is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." He said, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus replied, "Happy are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because no human has shown this to you. Rather, my Father who is in heaven has shown you. I tell you that you are Peter, and I'll build my church on this rock. The gates of the underworld won't be able to stand against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Anything you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven. Anything you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven." Then he ordered the disciples not to tell anybody that he was the Christ. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Often when I'm reading scripture, particularly these days, I'm looking at Jesus and I'm watching Jesus give us an example, obviously, of how to live this Christian life, but specifically how to lead and pastor young adults. I'm watching Jesus give us an example of what it means to be a person who is going to have a posture towards them that they're going to want to draw near towards, how to create community for them. Yes, how to even create a church that they want to be a part of. And in this text, in Matthew 16, I see Jesus showing us so much of how we can approach young adults in the particular moment that they're in. And so just three things that I want to lift up to you this morning, three things that I see Jesus doing that I think that we can do for the next generation in our midst. But here's what I'd like you to do as I'm talking. I'd like you, particularly those who are my age and older, I'd like you to get the face of a young adult in your sphere of influence in your head this morning. Maybe they're in the room. Maybe they're sitting next to you. You may not want to tell them that they're sitting next to you. But a young adult that you're concerned about, that you're like, I wish they were here. I wish they were zoned in. And as we're thinking, as we're talking this morning, I want you to be thinking about them. Because maybe this morning, Jesus has something to say to you concerning them. Now, for those who are my age and younger in the room, I want to invite you to consider that maybe there are some older adults who want to be open to you, who want to be available to you, who want to guide you along this journey. Just like what Sade said a few minutes ago, friends, adulting is hard. And we can all just acknowledge that today, that it is hard growing up. It is hard trying to figure out what's the right thing to do, the next right thing to do. But maybe, just maybe, there is an older adult in your sphere of influence that wants to be there for you if you were willing to open yourself up to them. And as I'm talking this morning, maybe you could have their face in your head. Three things that I see Jesus do in Matthew 16 that I think is really helpful for us. The first thing Jesus does is he asks questions. He comes to Peter and the disciples, and he asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" And here's the most revolutionary thing that Jesus does in asking that question. He waits for the answer. He asks the question and doesn't start rolling in. Okay, I know I've asked the question, but I don't expect you to have really any answers to that question. So let me go ahead and tell you what the right answer is, and we can just move on. No, he asks the question, and he waits for their answer. He knows that these are things that the disciples are thinking about. He asks them questions, and he waits for those answers. He knows that these are questions, these are ideas that their world is talking about. And so he knows that they're going to have some idea about what their friends are saying. They're going to have some ideas about what the folks across the pond are saying. He asks them questions, and he waits. I remember years ago, I always ask my students how they're doing. I ask, and specifically the question I ask them is, how is your soul? But I got called out many years ago because some friends of mine noticed that I would ask them how their soul is and immediately turn my face away to someone else. Here's what that says. I just asked you how your soul is, but I don't really care what you're going to say next. And I wonder, for those of us in the room who are a little older, what's our posture towards young adults, towards the next generation, even when we ask the questions? Are we interested in the answers that they give us? Or are we only interested in them giving us back the talking points? Because the truth is that young adults are struggling with so many different things. And friends, if we would be willing to ask the questions, just like Jesus did, and be willing to wait for the answer. I've even advised some friends who've been struggling with their young adult family members. Ask questions, wait for the answer, and then leave it there for a bit. There's this tendency in me, and I only talk about me, there's this tendency in me to want to sort of like insert the right answer, even when I've waited for their answer. It's like, yeah, that's cool, I'm glad you think about that, but let me tell you what the truth is. But actually, sometimes what we really need to do is to leave space to just hold someone's honesty as sacred. I love this example that Jesus gives us. He asks the question. And then he asks another question. And he just waits to hear what they've got to say. He asks, who do you say that I am? And the disciples say, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist. And then Jesus asks the second question, no, but who do you say that I am? And Peter then says back to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm just going to insert something in right here at Matthew 16. I think Jesus, like, smiled brightly and, like, jumped and went crazy over that one answer. You got it, Peter. In fact, what does the scripture say? Happy are you, Peter, son of Jonah. He says that to him, and I think he celebrates this one step of growth. And that would be the second thing that we see Jesus doing. He celebrates growth, little bitty step of growth. Friends, yes, Peter's answer is awesome, but actually, it's like base level. It's not everything. That answer is going to lead to another question. It's going to lead to another question. There's a lot more that needs to be done. Thank you, Simon Peter. I'm glad you got today's assignment correct. That's awesome. We've got more assignments. And sometimes we're just ready to move on to the next thing, and yet what I see Jesus doing is affirming him and celebrating this small step of growth. I think often we are afraid when it comes to the next generation of blowing up their heads too much, and now you can start thinking about some of the young adults in your sphere of influence. Sometimes we're afraid of the participation trophy kind of mentality that I should be rewarded just for showing up, and I get you there. And we're definitely afraid, I know my parents were afraid, of what Derek looks like if he gets too arrogant. But I think we all know something. That arrogance has always been a front for insecurity. That this next generation in particular is struggling with so much. There's so much against them. And I would suggest that the thing that we could do, all of us in the room could do for the next generation, is be affirmation forward, encouragement forward. We all need encouragement, amen? And I'm gonna tell you, the churches that are thriving with young adults, not simply drawing the crowd, but the ones who are really like bringing young adults into the family of God and watching them grow roots in the house of God, they are the churches that have determined that we're gonna celebrate every little bitty step of growth. We may not be able to have a huge party, but we might have a little dance party right now because you took a step in the right direction. In fact, friends, as Wesleyan Christians, we believe that God's already doing stuff in people's lives before they even know it, and we want to be the Christians who celebrate that. Amen? And so this thing that we see Jesus doing, this moment, Simon Peter, one right answer. It's not all the right answers. It's not the whole test, but it's worth celebrating. I invite you to think about that young adult in your sphere of influence. When was the last time you celebrated them? When we're frustrated with them, it gets hard, right? When we're like, oh man, why did you not like do this? I told you to do this and you didn't do it. Ah, I get that. But I'm willing to bet there has been one right thing they did this week. Did you affirm them? The example we have from Jesus is that even one right answer deserves a celebration. He asks the questions. He celebrates growth. And finally, Jesus names Peter. In the text, here's what we have. We have Simon Peter. He's given the right answer, and he says, Simon, son of Jonah, heaven has revealed this to you. My Father has revealed this to you. No human has revealed this to you. And now I call you Peter. No, Simon, your mom didn't name you Peter, but I'm calling you Peter. And when Jesus calls him by that name, he isn't simply giving him a new nickname. He's speaking to his destiny. He's speaking to his calling. Now, one of the things I know about Mandarin United Methodist is that you all are incredible about the culture of the call. You are incredible at seeing young adults, seeing the next generation, and saying, there's something special on your life. There's a really cool dude named Derek Langley. Do people know who Derek is? Yeah. He might not spell his name correctly, but that's okay. It's all right. It's a joke, y'all. His dad's sitting right there. Derek just started coming to CCW 2 weeks ago. And last Wednesday, he was already playing in the band. So exciting. And I know that so much of that has to do with the nurturing that he's had in this congregation. But here's my question. I know that you all are really good at affirming the call of young adults on Sunday, but are you good at it on Tuesday? Are you good at it on Friday? Because the thing that this next generation needs is consistent affirmation of the call of God on their life. And yes, we are really good as a church affirming the call of those who are going to go into ordained ministry. But are we good at affirming the call of those who are going to go into education? Are we good at affirming the call of those who are going to go into law enforcement? Man, we got to call out the Jesus people who are feeling called into government. And man, we got to pray for them. Oh, we got to lift them up. We've got to make sure they know. I mean, you might get voted in as some party, you know, representative, but you're actually being voted in as a follower of Jesus and a carrier of the gospel. When Jesus calls Simon Peter, he is calling him by his gospel-given name. He is calling him by his kingdom-given name. Have we done that, friends? And are we going to continue to do that? And that's why I titled this message, Who Do We Say Young Adults Are? I ask you this question. What is your confession when it comes to the next generation? If the church is going to be anything, we have got to be the people who determine and decide that we will always speak the positive confession over the next generation. That we will always speak the hope of Jesus over the next generation. We will determine to always be the people who will always speak truth, yes, but grace as well over the next generation. And I think that what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do in our churches in this moment that we're in is to raise up some individuals who are willing to ask the questions and wait for the answers, who are willing to celebrate every step of growth, and who are willing to look at young adults and call out the God-given destiny that's inside of them. And so again, I ask you about that young adult that's in your sphere of influence. How might the Spirit use you on their journey? Because if you're in their sphere of influence, if you know them, there is probably something Jesus wants to do in you for their sake. So how might you ask them those questions? Those questions that are, yes, deep, and there are some true answers, but are huge conversations. How might you affirm and celebrate every step of growth, even the half steps? And friends, how might we speak destiny over them? How might we call out the God-given dream and destiny that is inside of them, that is given to them because they have been purchased by Jesus? My prayer is that Mandarin United Methodist Church would continue to be a church that raises up the next generation. But I pray that we'd be able to do that for not just tens of students, but hundreds of students. And that people all over this area would know that this is a church that's ready to come alongside them and all that God has for them. Let's pray together. So Holy Spirit, you know the young adults in our sphere of influence. You know the teenagers that are in our families, the college-aged young adults who live in our community. And I just pray, oh God, that we would not just pass by them. There are questions that need to be asked. There are steps of faith and growth that need to be celebrated. And there are calls that need to be lifted up. May we be willing to be the individuals, and may we be willing to be the church that determines to keep our hearts open to them. Yes, for the sake of the church, for the sake of your mission in the world, and for the sake of your love that pursues every single person on this planet. We give you praise for all that you are and all that you continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We now have the opportunity to come to this table and experience that grace that's gone before us.